Hi, welcome to the Accidental Mentor Podcast. My name is Charlene Garrett, and I'm excited for you to join me on this journey of over 30 years of mentoring. My life has been greatly impacted by people who have lent their expertise and really their lives and their advice to me over the years. Some of them were peers, some were parents of my friends, some were teachers or coaches. Just mentors come in all shapes and sizes, you could say. And I am so excited that I've had the opportunity to actually be a mentor as well. Sometimes this journey is really intentional, and sometimes it's very accidental. In this first episode, this first season, actually, join me and my friend Julie as we sat down and we talked for 5 hours. We broke it into many episodes, but we talked through our whole journey, our whole friendship of over 20 years. We talk about things like social anxiety, failures of finance and disability, to career advice and where we've moved. There's unexpected twists and turns, my ignorance that was helpful, lots of things through this whole journey that I want to encourage you with. It's really fun. So listen in as you get to meet Julie and we start off on this journey together with episode one. Julie, thank you so much for being my very first guest on this podcast.
Happy to be here.
So thank you for coming, and thank you. I just really wanted to chat and talk a little bit about how we met. And, you know, I realized as we were chatting the other day that it has been, I think, 20 years now. So I think we met in 2003.
Yeah.
I think, if I'm remembering correctly, that we met at a party at the Lindenberger's house. Is that right?
That's half right.
It was, is that what you remember?
It was not a party, but it was at the Lindenberger's house.
Okay. So what I remember is that season of my life, I was going to Refuge, and I don't remember why I was at their house, actually, but I was over there, and I thought it was a party. But I remembered that right before I came, I was... we had been talking at church about discipleship and how important it was to disciple people. I think I was about 27. So if it was 20 years ago, I was 27, 28. And we were supposed to find three people to disciple. So I was kind of on the lookout, like, okay, who are three people that I could tell more about Jesus, was on my mind. And we get to this party and I meet you, and I thought that you were funny and very interesting. What do you remember about meeting during that time? Like, I'm trying to like go back. It's been so long.
Well, it was the Lindenbergers, and it probably felt like a party because we met, and that's exciting. You came in and you were sitting. All I remember is you were sitting on the fireplace and you were hilarious, and I did not like you. But I didn't like you back then, because that was my job. I was supposed to be the funny one, and you took all the attention, and I didn't care for that at all. So, it was just a dinner that me and my sister were having over at the Lindenbergers.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so how did you meet the Lindenbergers?
So I met.
Did you know them, or is this like a multiple times that you'd been there, a first time, or?
I think that was our first time there. So I met them. My sister was going to a life group at Nelda's house, I believe was the lady's name. And she had brought me to this life group on a Monday or Tuesday night. And I'd come a couple times, and Joanne was so kind to me. My life was very, very different back then. And she was so sweet to me. And they invited us just kind of to dinner, I guess, to get to know us. I'd never done anything like that before, because my life did not, like, I didn't have people in my life that kind of did that thing. So it was really a big deal to me. And then you were there and we met, but I did not care for you at first.
It's funny that you didn't care for me because I was funny, because I liked you because you were funny. Right. So I remember thinking, wow, this girl's funny. I think that we'd get along. And what I also remember is near the end, this could be made up. You know how memories sometimes, but in my head, near the end of the time, you left earlier than I did, and I followed you outside and said, hey, we should get together, or something along those lines. I probably didn't say have coffee, but I might have. Do you remember how we set up the next, how we got connected after that?
I honestly don't, but when you just said that, that sounds familiar. Like it sounds familiar that we were outside and then you were just like, let's hang out. I don't remember what you asked to do. But I was like, okay. Cause you just appeared to have everything together. I had no clue why you wanted to hang out with me at all. Cause we were, very, very different in that season of my life. So, but you didn't creep me out. Yeah. Cause I went,
it might have seemed we're, and what's funny is I think we met at your house.
Was that the first
your
time?
Your apartment. I feel like the first time we met was at your apartment, but I don't remember. I don't remember if, I don't have a memory of like a coffee place,
right,
or,
it's been 20 years.
Anything
so
else
I, yeah,
like that. I have my memory. I don't know. My memory goes to, so this is the story I made up in my head. My memory is we meet at your apartment and I had a book that we had been given to do this discipleship with. It was called 5B. It was supposed to be like the 5 basics of discipleship,
right,
or something. It was very thin. Shout out to Judah Smith. Mm-hmm. He was like 10 years old when he wrote it or something. And no, he's in his early 20s. And I come to this like, okay, I'm going to like talk to Julie and I'm going to disciple her. I assumed you were a Christian. I didn't even, but this kind of doesn't necessarily, this 5B book. It's the basics. And as soon as, what I remember is we started chatting and it felt like you were trying to tell me all the hardest things of your life really quickly. So I remember thinking, I don't know if this book's going to be super helpful. And in my head, I didn't actually have it in my hand, but in my head, like I didn't bring it like, here's the book.
Here's this book. Let's do this.
Let's do this. I wasn't that creepy, but okay.
Yeah.
But it was probably in my backpack or in my car. And I was like, I just was like, oh, this book isn't going to help me at all. But what do you remember about the first times that we chatted? Even if it wasn't then, you know, what do you think about that?
That's probably one of the strongest memories I have from 20 years ago. It's been a long time. I actually do remember the 5B book. I think at some point we tried to use it. I don't know. My follow through on some of your activities was kind of low back then. but I do remember that. And I think that was pretty accurate assessment of what happened, because what I realized later is in that moment, I was just like, okay, let me throw all my sin at her really quick. She's a Christian, like active, which I didn't know any, like, I mean, I knew Christians, like I'd been a Christian my whole life, not practicing. But when I was a kid, I said the prayer and got the dunk. And so this wasn't something I had ever experienced. So I was like, I think internally I felt like you were just going to reject me. I don't know that I knew that at the time, but I was just like, but what about this sin? And how does your church feel about this sin? And, you know, basically all the ways that I was choosing to live life back then. I just figured we'd get this over quickly, because there's no way that you and I would be actual friends.
It's funny because I think oftentimes when I know that I've done this with work, or people have asked me about this, like anytime we start a Bible study or you do something, people are like, so what's the plan? What's the book? What are the things you're going to follow? And my intention in that moment was, okay, I have this book they've told us to use. It's supposed to be really good. And that's what discipleship or mentorship, I didn't know what mentorship was probably then, in any kind of way, but I was like, okay, this is what it is. And in talking with you, I didn't have a clue what we were going to do. I had no idea what was going to happen, but I figured we couldn't just start with this book, because it was like, you know, in the beginning, literally like 5B, I think the first one was creation. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. I'm like, okay, but she just said all this stuff that she's dealing with now in life. Yeah. How is going back to Genesis going to be helpful, right? And so I think... I didn't feel rejection for you. This is what they did.
This is what happened to them. So let's, it's not looking good for you.
Be careful. It's not looking good for you. No, I think what I remember thinking was, I just need to like help her with the next step? Like, what does that mean? And I don't even know how to help. I mean, at that time in my life. So I think, you know, what brought us to this time, you know, you're about 4 years younger than me. So you're probably 23-ish around that time. 23, 24. I was 27, 28, depending on what month we met, which we don't know.
Sometime
in the summer. It was hot in Texas. But coming up to this point in my life, I had been a Christian for, you're right, I had been a Christian, a practicing Christian, like actively been discipled and had been to internships, and I went to Christian college for 12, 15 years, something at that point. But I also had my fair share of like mistakes and sin, you know, as a 27-year-old trying to figure life out. I had a real heart for more people to be free and to have freedom. I just wanted to have a bigger heart. So I had a heart for the world, but I didn't really have a heart for Dallas-Fort Worth like my pastor did. So I didn't really have a heart. But I thought, okay, this is a way that I can. Like, if I just reach out to a few people, Jesus had three disciples, then he had 12, but he had like three close people. So I should just start there. So I come to this place and I think that this is going to work. And then I'm faced with the reality of somebody who is really funny and really smart, who had a completely different background than I did. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's start. I don't know what we're going to do, but let's just start.
It didn't appear like that to me. When you came in our apartment that day, it seemed like you had absolutely everything together. You know, I really kind of thought you had like this special connection to God. Like if you would pray it, it would happen because God talked to you more. I had no understanding of actually knowing Jesus really in relationship and walking that out. So I grew up from a young age, I had anxiety attacks, like starting, I think it was actually, ironically enough, it was the fall after I got dunked, when I got baptized. Immediately after that, I started having horrible panic attacks. And I just lived my life from a place of fear. And so I made choices to cope with that, you know, drugs, alcohol, all the things that basically I tell people, look, if there's a sin, probably I did it. So be kind to those who struggle. When I came here, I mean, I had a DUI, so I wasn't drinking anymore. So I think you met me during a forced sobriety moment. That was a clarity moment, didn't last for a real long time. But when I came to the church, I mean, I was broken. I really didn't even know what I was looking for. I had, you know, everything kind of in my life, we learned even patterning about anxiety and how you react out of fear. There was never a model of, oh, we're going to take this to Jesus, to the Lord. We're going to pray about it. We're going to ask for direction. Like that didn't exist. And so you were very intriguing to me because you looked like you had it all together to me. I had no clue that you were kind of winging it. That did not come across at all. So you did good. I do remember the book though. It has like a 5 and a baby case B, I think.
Thanks. It did. It was really funny. So I'm like holding onto this book in my mind, like gripping it like this. And it's funny that you mentioned anxiety because at that point in my life, if you had talked about anxiety, I would have said, oh, I've never experienced anxiety. I don't really know what anxiety is. Not in the way that an anxiety attack or things like that. So I began to learn through you about anxiety and in general, what that means. And honestly, I think sometimes as we've talked and we'll, you know, kind of dig into this a little bit, my ignorance was super helpful and your ignorance of me. So I may have been faking it till I made it, but in some ways, but really what I was doing was just kind of what I realize now is I was just trusting that God knew what I didn't, you know, like he knows, he cares, he loves. So I'm going to be here. So maybe I'm not going to use the book 5B, but I'm going to be to be a little cheesy. And, and then we'll see what happens. Yeah. The first thing I remember doing is serving you. So I remember helping you either move or clean your apartment to move or something. Like you had like, it seemed like you had a lot of practical needs right then. Not necessarily, I mean, you had spiritual needs, but you had like real in your life, like I'm dealing with life needs. And so I was like, okay, how can I help? Which is funny because that's not one of my, service is not one of my high, or wasn't one of my high love languages then. But do you remember what we did? Like you were moving or?
I think it was when I was moving basically down the street. Like I moved from one apartment complex to another right before my family moved to Florida. So right before that, I had just moved. And I think that you, I want to say you helped me clean my old apartment because it was super gross and I needed my deposit back. So you did.
Yes, that was it. You needed your deposit back.
I needed my deposit back.
You needed your deposit back. And you're right. It was super gross.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Because you had been depressed, right? And so you hadn't been doing the things that you need to do, you know, on a regular basis to keep an apartment.
Like a frat house.
Not gross.
Basically.
And so we cleaned. And I think I got some people from the church to help us, help you move your stuff. Like we just took.
I think that was the next time. When I moved to the triplex.
Was it the next move?
Yeah. I think you met me right when I moved. And then when I moved to Fort Worth, to the place Ken rented me, I think it was like Luke. I remember, I think he helped. I don't know if we're supposed to put names on here, but I remember who all was there. But it was a bunch of people I didn't know.
Good old Luke.
I think twice that happened, that time and then when I moved to Denton.
Right.
It was just all people I never knew before.
It's amazing, especially when you're young, what, you know, buying people pizza will do for moving. Moving gets more expensive as you get older.
It does. I might pay the movers. Pay the movers.
No kidding. So what are some things, like, as we think about this relationship, you know, I look back and we've been connected for 20 years, like we've said. Mm-hmm. There's been all these different moments. In those first few months, what are some of the things that jump out as significant moments to you as we were getting to know each other? And, you know, what would we, I'm trying to think of what we would do. I think we went and saw a movie.
We saw a movie, 13 going on 30.
But I'm trying to remember.
Well, because I had panic attacks, so I was not one to go to the movies. You know, I still don't go to the movies. I don't feel that's anxiety's fault. That's just crowded movie theater fault. But back then, I would have a panic attack just going to a crowded public place. And then we got to, like, I think you took me to, the mall. So not only did you make me go to a movie, you made me go to a movie at the mall, which was really overwhelming. But you were so nice to me. And everyone there, I remember they all looked like Avril Lavigne. Like, I was like, how do people find their friends? Everybody here looks like Avril Lavigne. And we went to that movie, and I remember that was big because I trusted you. I basically kind of used your non-anxiety as like, you are my emotional support person. So we would go places and do things that I just normally wouldn't do because I spent so much time just being anxious and being at home that I didn't really do normal things. I know we ate a lot of Nikki's, a lot of Italian and some chicken strips. That's my,
a lot of Italian,
a very childlike palate back then.
Yeah, I remember. Well, and so it's funny you mentioned like that movie, that particular movie, because I think it's important to know, like for you to know, I wasn't like, oh, we're going to get over this anxiety. I have this plan. Well, this is what we're going to do because I read in Psychology Today that blah, blah, blah. I legitimately was trying to figure out what can we do together? Oh, there's this new movie coming out. Let's go see a movie. I like going to movie theaters. And I do remember you saying something like, there's a lot of people at the movies. And I'm so like, uh-huh. And let's go. There's so many people. And I was like, let's go to Grapevine Mills. I remember that we went to Grapevine Mills. So
it was a mall.
It was a mall. And because I didn't know if there were movie theaters not at malls in my mind, I just think, okay, that's where you go. So, and I remember walking in. I don't remember thinking that you were nervous at all. So I don't remember seeing, quote unquote, what I would think of as anxiety. We just kind of walked in, we sat down, we watched the movie, we laughed and we left. And you did mention, man, everybody looks like Avril Lavigne. And I just laughed with you having no idea who Avril Lavigne was. And I recently had to look up pictures from that year to think, and still was like, oh, okay. I still don't really know. I don't know people very well, like famous people.
Sorry, Avril Lavigne.
Maybe they do. I guess everybody looks alike. Sorry. But everybody looked like you, so you must have been really popular. So I think it is remarkable to me that, you know, we just kind of kept going. I also remember taking you to church. I remember trying for a long time. It's like, let's come go to church. And I went to a small church at the time. And I think we were even meeting in a very small location. I don't know if we were still at Carol Baptist, but I know that I remember you coming one time when we met at the bail bonds, which is hilarious that this is on a place, but my church rented a bail bonds office basically on a Sunday to meet at. It's like, it was an old house next to the police station. And it was small. Do you remember coming there?
No, that's absolutely where at the bail bonds. But that's the place I remember the most. And you invited me, and I went, the timeline is foggy, but I went several times. And I remember thinking, one, these people are so nice. And two, why these people won't leave me alone? Not leave me alone, but they were, people wanted to pray for me. And I was like, okay. And then like laid their hands on me. I'm like, so like, I was trying to counterbalance their prayers. I would pray they'd stop touching me, and then they would just pray for me. But I kept coming. So something would bring me back. And you were allowed to smoke cigarettes outside. There was ashtrays. So I didn't feel too out of place at times, but I know I would show up late. I went there for a while, but I would show up late because I had no idea what to do during worship. I didn't know about hands up, hands down. I didn't want to get called on. David had called on people before to go to the Waffle House and disciple people. And I was like, oh, please don't call on me. But I think I went there like a year.
Did you come on whatever night it was? I think it was Thursday nights when we hung out on the back porch.
And it called back porch.
Did you come to the back porch?
That was called.
Do you remember that?
I do. I think I only came to like one or two.
It was called back porch.
Uh-huh. I came to one or two. That was a few years later. That's when I was living in the triplex, Ken's triplex.
Okay. I was probably trying to get you to come back regularly to church. I do remember you pointing out to me then things that I never thought about, like the fact that we were a lot of people in a small space. And the more people that we invited, the more people came, and we couldn't afford yet to go to a bigger space, which we eventually, I think, moved from there to rent the Baptist church. I think that's when we went to Carol Baptist, was after that. But I remember... You mentioned that. I remember you mentioning to me about people touching you. Mm-hmm. And again, my worldview, I had people touching me and praying for me for a long time. So I didn't think about the fact that that would be uncomfortable. Like, of course it would be uncomfortable. Like, random. Hey, can I pray for you?
Let me touch you. I love all these people now. So they're wonderful people.
Yeah. So. Welcome. Yeah.
There's a lot of touching.
It's just funny. It's just a lot of touching worldview. I also remember we were charismatic. So, you know, we believed in, and I still believe in prophetic and the prophetic words and stuff. And I remember one time being so excited because you got a prophetic word and you were less than excited. Do you remember that?
So terrifying. Yes. I think it was when they did the recordings when we went through Encounter? I can't remember, but it came through and it was like basically something to the effect of, you are going to, you know, your story will change the lives of many people and just a lot of pressure. You'll do great things for the Lord. It was just a lot of pressure. I was like, y'all are so wrong. And then there was like, I was like, is this an expectation? Like back then, now if someone gives me a word, I'm like, okay, it's encouraging and I can, because I have a different framework. But back then I had no framework for any of this. And so I literally basically just trusted everybody because I trusted you. And so part of it felt like, oh, this must be true because Charlene wouldn't lie to me or let me, believe anything that wasn't untrue. And then it was terrifying. So I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. Going outside, coming here was hard enough, like changing the lives of other people. Not something I'm probably signing up for.
You're like, I just got outside of my apartment. Right. I'm like, I'm coming here. Now you want me to do what? Like, This is step one. Baby steps, right? Baby steps.
What an episode. You may have noticed I was a little nervous to get that conversation started, but I am so glad that we did. Something that jumped out to me was that when I was encouraging to Julie and I was just telling her what I saw in her, that felt like pressure to her and it was overwhelming. Has that ever happened to you where you've given maybe a prophetic word or just a word of encouragement or thanked somebody for something and they didn't respond the way that you anticipated? Or maybe you've been the recipient and you heard something that somebody was saying about you that you didn't believe was true yet. I want to hear your story. Please let me know. Tell me in the comments here on YouTube or on social media. You can contact me on social media. All of my contact information is going to be in the show notes or in the description below. I want to hear about that. I also want to hear, was there something else that you liked about the episode? What jumped out to you? Let's keep the conversation going. Next episode is about budgeting and borrowed trust. You won't want to miss that. Remember that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. Once again, my name is Charlene Garrett, and this has been the Accidental Mentor. Thanks for listening.